Let's turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. Amen. We thank the Lord for this short reading of his word. And as I say, we're going to look at verse 130 as a starting point, and we're going to be considering what is given in the daily light today. I'm not feeling that well, so I'll probably keep it fairly short, but you never know with me. It might just end up an hour and a half instead. So we shall see. But the words from the daily light, and remember, in the daily light, they don't always use the whole verses, so they read in this way. And I forgot to bring it the last couple of weeks, so we have been reading whole verses. But it runs this way. The entrance of thy words giveth light. This is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The Word was God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. So the general overview of the passages there is, of course, summed up in that first verse, the entrance of thy words giveth light. So I just want to examine that with you tonight and think about it for a short time. And the way that I have taken these verses and put them together is this. First of all, the marvellous illustration. Secondly, the miraculous illumination. And thirdly, a missionary iridescence. So still managed to get that alliteration in there. So a marvellous illustration, first of all. And it is a marvellous illustration. I always think that light is a most wonderful thing that can be used to glorify God. That, and of course we are told in the scripture, our God is a consuming fire. And fire is a strange thing as well, isn't it? I often think about fire. And what actually is fire? It is the changing of molecules. It is changing things from one state to another. You can't get hold of it. It's just hot gases, and yet it gives off light. You can see it. There are times, of course, if you sit around a fire and you think, this is lovely, and you can see it if you have one in your living room, not one that's, you know, somebody's dropped a match on the carpet, but one in the hearth. You can sit there for ages watching the fire in the hearth. It's amazing and very beautiful. And our God is a consuming fire because also, of course, the power of it. But similarly, light. When we think about light, particularly what we know about it now, of course, the Lord knew about it from the beginning. But what we know about light now tells us something more, even, of the Lord. In 1 John 1, verse 5, it says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Something that we're told about light is that it travels at 186,282 miles per second, which is pretty quick. That is 671 million miles an hour. So that's pretty fast. And as I was looking up the statistics, somebody had asked the question, does light speed up? So when you turn your light on, does it go up to that speed? Does it accelerate to that speed? No, light travels instantly at that speed. And something else very strange about the speed of light is that if you fire two beams toward each other, they interact at not twice the speed of light, but just the speed of light. I don't know, that's beyond my comprehension how that works, but it's still 186,000 miles per second. So you have a beam coming this way, 186,000 miles per second, and the beam coming that way, 186,000 miles per second. So that should be, what, 370-something thousand miles per second? But it's not. When they collide 186,000 miles per second. So very, very strange, but there is a constant in light. And the reason I say to start off the marvelous illustration is that God is constant. God is someone who is a rock, who is unmoving, who is unchanging, just like light is. And scientists make many calculations, and we need things which don't change in order to make calculations against them. And light is one of those things that can be used. So we think about that constancy of the Lord. We think also about the power of light as well, which is a very strange thing. Light, we're told, is a particle, a photon, but it's also a wave. And so the reason that it doesn't need to accelerate as a particle is because it's a wave. So we can kind of comprehend that to a certain extent, that it's a vibration, but we know that light can be concentrated in the vibration until it cuts through steel. And that's an amazing thing, isn't it? Light, which is striking us right now, has the power to cut through steel. So you can have a sheet of steel and run a laser across it and it will cut through. And these days you can buy laser cutters for yourself, and they cut little thin bits of wood out and make little patterns and things that you can make little models and stuff using laser cutters. But that's a tremendous thing, isn't it? The power that is there in light. And when we think about God, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We perceive God and in his beauty and his clarity and in his kindness and his gentleness, because light is so gentle that we can stand in full sunlight and it doesn't hurt us. Of course, it does damage some of the amino acids in your skin, so you can get cancers. Thymine, I think, is the one that damages and stops it replicating properly. So it can damage in that way. But we stand with these particles, this wavelength hitting us 186,000 miles per second. If a car hit you at that speed, you wouldn't be standing. But light doesn't do any damage. And we think of God as being that powerful, and yet he is that gentle that he can gather us to himself, and we can dwell in his presence, and that he is with us in such a way. And yet we also recognize in light the power to cut through steel, and the power of God to do whatsoever he will. And there is no man that can stand in his presence, the scripture tells us, who will stand in the day of the Lord. And of course, God is able, just like the laser, to cut, as well as he is to gently bathe. So we think about the Lord's constancy and that marvellous illustration it is of him. Then, of course, the Lord's clarity, for he is very clear. And light, again, is clear. It is something which clarifies things. My eyes, of course, are getting old now, and my eyes are darkening, because that's what happens. You get a macular degeneration, just the general one, not the bad one where you can't see anymore and go completely blind. But you do, you start getting little black floaties going in your eyes. And you sometimes can see these, and your vision is not as good as it was. But if I stand outside, I can still read. I've got a very small Bible, and if I'm out in the sunlight, I can still read it. And the print is about like 2 point or something, or 3 point. Very, very tiny, but I can see it if there's a bright sunlight. But I can't see it indoors. No, not a chance. I struggle with this Bible indoors because the light isn't bright enough. But the Lord has that clarity about him in the way that he speaks to us, in the way that he reveals himself to us. There is a clarity which he gives to us. And when we're thinking about these verses, about the entrance of thy words giving light, it is the Lord that gives us that clarity. It giveth understanding unto the simple. So we understand that the Lord is clear, and light is clear and clears things for us. And then also we think also about the Lord's criticality, in the fact that he is critical to everything. In him we live and move and have our being. And light, again, is absolutely necessary to life on Earth. We know about photosynthesis and the leaves turning carbon dioxide and bringing out proteins from it and also producing oxygen and other things as well. Some microbes do the same thing. And how important light is, and we all need light. It's been said recently that children are suffering from vitamin D deficiency, isn't it? Because they don't get enough daylight, because they're sitting in playing games on the computers all the time. They don't go outside. And so light is so important to us. And the Lord is critical in everything. He upholds all things. So it's a marvellous illustration when we think about God as being light, first of all. Secondly, then, going on to some of these other verses, the miraculous illumination. Miraculous illumination, the revelation which God makes to us. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, it says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So God reveals things to us. Of course, light reveals things to us. So we have the parable of the woman who has lost the coin, and she goes and she takes a candle and searches the corners of the house. The Lord speaks about the blood in the garments of the sinners of Israel. And he says, "I have not found this by secret search, but upon all these." And the light brings things so that they can be seen. But if you go into the hidden corners, even of our own minds and of our own hearts, of course, the psalmist, doesn't he, says to the Lord, "Search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So there's a revelation made to us, first of all of ourselves, but also a revelation made to us of Jesus Christ. For it says, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And the whole thing is connected there with actual light from the beginning. 2 Corinthians 4:6 begins, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness." Remember in Genesis chapter 1, and God says, "Let there be light." He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He hath also shined in our hearts. I remember when I was in college, we had to do some thing for Dr. Paisley on the first chapter of Genesis. And I remember doing the whole thing and likening it to salvation, how the Lord shines in our hearts and creates in our hearts. So you can see here again, this verse really underlines that, the fact that God commanded light to shine at the beginning, but he does that in the recreation. He does that when he makes us to be new creatures in Christ Jesus. We are born again. We are the beginning of that creation, and God has done that work within us. So it's a revelation made, and we begin to see ourselves, and we also begin to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We turn over to John's Gospel, that is, and chapter 1. When we consider this miraculous illumination, first of all, the illumination of ourselves and the illumination to us of Jesus Christ, that we might see him for who he is. But in John chapter 1, it also tells us something about this more general illumination of reason. And I'm going to suggest to you that that is what is being said here. For it says in verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." The life was the light of men. "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I'm suggesting to you that the light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world is the light of reason. That God gives us a reasonable soul. God gives us the ability to understand. God has created us so that we can interact with him, so that we can hear what he says to us, so that we can understand the concepts of salvation. We are not like the beasts in this world, not even the highest of the beasts, that the evolutionists would say, well, we are just an extension of the apes. They don't have that ability. They don't write novels. They don't have imaginations of great things. They don't go about to invent things that have never even been thought of. There are some creatures in the world who use tools to manage to do things, and we know that monkeys are quite clever, but they just don't have anything like what man has in comprehension, in understanding, in a reasonable soul, in irrationality. And that light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, I would suggest, is that light of rationality. God has touched every man that we might all understand, we might all believe that there can be none who are guiltless when we stand before him. If we've heard the gospel, there is none that will say, oh, I didn't realize that. Because God has given us all the ability to realize that. So we see in this miraculous illumination the reason which is God given to us. And we have an understanding of the things of God, that we might comprehend them. But of course, we go on from there to think about the rationality, which is reason, of course. And the rationality is that we consider, that we are careful to consider what God has shown to us. God has given us the ability to do that, to read the word, to understand the word. But if we're Christians here tonight, we should be actually taking the time and the effort to put our minds to it and seek to understand. The psalmist says in this very psalm, Psalm 119 and verse 11, he says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. That I might not sin against thee. And he has hidden it in his heart. It's not just the fact that he has the book, but he's read the book. That he's thought about the book. That he's contemplated the book. And of course, when we read the Psalms which he has written, we understand that they are full of Scripture. They are Scripture, but they are full of Scripture, even from other places, an understanding of what the Lord has taught him. He has rationalized, he has comprehended, he has understood what God is showing to him in the world. And in 1 John 1:7, we are told this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We need to be walking in the light. The verse we began with is, the entrance of thy words giveth light, giveth understanding unto the simple. And we all, as Christians, need to be reading the word. I know that I've said recently that if you don't have very much time, then make sure you pray. And the word, you have some part of the word already which you have learned, but don't neglect the word. You know, when you do have more time, make sure you read it. Make sure you read a good section of it. And as you know, I'm trying to read through 1% a day. I've fallen a long way behind, about 18% behind, I think I am now. But nevertheless, I'm reading it through very fast. But we also have to read it through slowly and contemplate the words that are given there. But it's a good thing to read it through fast because you get the overall sort of view of it. So there's that old saying, isn't it? You couldn't see the wood for the trees. And the wood being a forest, you couldn't see the forest for the trees because there were so many trees close to you, you couldn't actually see the forest. And so to stand back on a mountain top and look down on the forest is an amazing thing. You can see how far it stretches. But then you're missing all the trees. So you go down into the midst of the forest and you examine the trees and you see that there's lots of different kinds of trees that are there and how interesting they are. And the things, of course, when the leaves fall and the creatures that are in the forest, and you see all those minutiae of the forest. But it's a good thing to see where the forest is as well. And so to read quickly through a book is important, as well as it is to read minutely through a book that we might have comprehension. So we need to walk in the light. We need to bask in that light. The entrance of thy word giveth light. And if we're walking in the light, we're walking in the word. And we are having fellowship with God through that word. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. John 15, verse 3, we read, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. We need that word, need to hide it in our hearts, need to meditate upon it, think upon it. And it comes out when we pray. You know, many verses come to our minds when we pray. And the Lord says, bring forth your strong reasons. And the strongest reasons we have are God's promises. We need to know them. And then my final point was missionary iridescence. And I struggled a bit to find a word that started with I, but it last one there. But it worked quite well, actually, because we remember that the scripture speaks of Moses in Exodus 34, verse 29. It's not a verse which is connected to these verses in the daily light today, but it says this: "And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, then he came down from the mount that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him." And that's an iridescence. It is a light which shines from us because we've been in the presence of God. And so we need that missionary iridescence. That's how we are able to witness and testify to those around us, because we have been in the presence of God. Remember what it says about the disciples in the book of Acts, that they took note of them, that they had been with Jesus. And although they were taking note because they were remembered that they had been with Jesus, what telling words they are. Do people take note of us because we have been with Jesus? Ephesians 5:8 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Do we walk as children of light? Is the light of God shining upon us so much that it shines from us, comes forth in our words, comes forth in our prayers, comes forth in our actions, stops us from sin, leads us to do that which is good and right? Is the word of God so working within us? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Show forth the praises of him. Do we show forth the praises of God? Do we praise him? Do we give thanks? It may be just in the kind of throwaway comment of, "Well, praise the Lord, I'm here today." And I often remember Dr. Paisley once was on a plane, and somebody recognized him on the plane. They asked him how he was, and his answer ran something like this. He said, "Well, I'm saved. My wife's saved, my children are saved, the Lord's blessing me, and I'm feeling tremendous." And you know, how often do we go through the blessings which God has given us? And could we run them off that easily? You know, "The Lord has blessed me today. I've woken up with my health. I've woken up with the strength the Lord's given me today. I've had a good breakfast. I've got nice warm clothes on, and praise the Lord." Are we able to say that to the people who are around us so that we give the glory to God? It's just a throwaway comment, but nevertheless, it makes people aware of where we stand and where we walk with the Lord. Proverbs 4:18 says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Is our path a shining light? Can people follow it? Can they say, "Well, yeah, I'd quite like to live the way you do"? There have been people in the past, of course, remember Balaam, who said, "Oh, that I might die the death of the righteous." And there are other people who have said, "Oh, I wish I had your faith. I wish I had your faith." And you've got something, "I wish I had it." And you answer to them is, "Well, you can have it." But they're not at that point as yet. But nevertheless, do they look at us and say, "I wish I had your faith"? So, in these words then, and all of these different verses which have been put together here, we see the importance of the entrance of light and of reading the word day by day, of communion with the Lord, realizing that he is light, and as he dwells in us and shines upon us, that we are also to be lights. Again, that verse which I think I used on Sunday about the city which is set on a hill cannot be hid. We are a city set on a hill. People know, if you're a Christian, you've ever said anything to them about Christians, they are watching you. You are a city on a hill. You can't be hid. And now no longer are you just an ordinary person. You are a Christian. And they'll pick up anything that you do wrong, but they will also note the things that you do right. And so if we are a city set on a hill, then let's shine forth. And let us take that position and say, "Yes, I belong to the Lord, and it's my purpose and intent to walk with him and to glorify his name."